You're becoming more and more Imus every day this show goes on. But if you don't have, like, ailments that just pop, you don't have carpal tunnel.
I think I might, though. That's the thing. I guess
carpal tunnel takes, like, forever. You've got to, like, data entry stuff or be always using your hands. You don't do that much typing.
I'm part of the wired generation, my friend. I'm plugged into the worldwide the net of the thing.
You're plugged into the couch with TiVo and a remote. That doesn't cause carpal tunnel.
But it's what hand do I use for the remote control? That's right, the right hand.
Have a little joint rightis.
No, I started noticing when I was answering email the last couple nights, where I'm sitting there and I'm sort of typing away and I'm clicking or I'm getting news stories for the show or something, and I got this weird shooting pain in my wrist, but then my pinky finger on my right hand started to tingle. I kind of got this weird tingling numbness in my ring finger and my pinky finger on my right hand. And so I don't know, I don't want to end up like my friend. I shouldn't make fun, because then God will punish me he'll make sure that I have to have all my tendons stripped out and replaced with, like, pig parts or something. So I shouldn't poke fun. But I don't want to end up like my friend Ryan. My friend Ryan's got such bad carpal tunnel. Did his company actually give him workman's comp? Did they actually give him time off? No. You know what they do? You go to visit Ryan at work now, you know what he got? He wears a headband that's got an electronic eye in the middle of it that he uses to position the cursor on his screen. So he sits here looking like Bjorn Borg. You know, he's got a headband in the middle of his head with a little electronic pointer, the kind you use to play Duck Hunt with your Nintendo. Using that to aim the cursor on the screen, and then all he's allowed to do with his hand is click. I don't think it's his right hand. I think he's got to use his left hand for it. It's a bad scene. I don't want that to be me. They're going to make some sort of porn that's more easily accessible. I'm just saying. Or voice-activated porn or something. Man, I mean, we got the man on the moon. Why can't we do that? Anyway, it's 4 minutes, 31 seconds out of the hour, 12. In this, the last day of the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2002, soon to be 2003. I got a new car. Is that your new, Tim Stomach to the Handbook? Is that your,
This is a Subaru Baja
12.
Now, this is for people who love the great outdoors. You can put, like, surfboards in the back of it, skis. And it's kind of a trick, but it's kind of a car.
Now, Matt was making the observation that the Baja looks a lot like the Brat. Who remembers the Brat?
I remember the Brat. My brother had one. But
who was it that made that? Was it Chevy?
No,
who
made it the Brat? It was Subaru. It was a Subaru Brat.
Subaru?
Yeah.
Subaru.
The Brat was the ugliest goddamn truck that it, or car, or whatever the hell it was. It was some weird, neither of this world or the next, Island of Dr. Moreau sort of a vehicle. It was just like all the worst parts of both vehicles sort of mashed together into one thing that no one would want to own.
But this is a little bit different. See, this is a back
better,
seat,
though.
Too. This is like a sedan
with
a trick bed on the back.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to call that.
See, look, you put your surfboard in the back of that, or your skis.
No, it looks, what's it called, a Baja?
A Baja.
Yeah, it looks okay from the front, but then when you get a side view, it's all weird and gangly looking.
Oh, yeah, you put a bunch of people drinking beer on the tailgate there, you go to a football game.
Does it come with perky white friends to drink Corona with?
It does. Look at these California people. It's full of them. So I'm going to have this for the New Year's. If you see me around town, it's my new wheels.
Aryan companions, not included.
This goes, look at this, the California babe with a bikini.
Excellent.
You want to see that around here? It retails for $23,000 to $24,000. So.
All right. It's not as good as the Mercedes, though, is it?
Well, no.
No, because nothing's as good as that Mercedes. Have you topped out with the Mercedes? Is that the best car you're ever going to get to drive due to this deal? Are you ever going to get anything better than that?
Well, there is another Mercedes out there, and there's also a Volvo, which I haven't driven yet.
I'm sure that the common people out there appreciate your desire to stay with the Mercedes as long as possible, Tim.
Our friend Brad is going to the L.A. Auto Show, and he's going to call us back and tell us about the newest cars.
What do you mean, our friend Brad? Brad hasn't done a damn thing for me. Is it your friend Brad?
But you can ride the back of this truck.
Yeah, can I now? Thanks.
I'll let you ride way in the back in the open air if you want.
I can ride next to your Dalmatian.
After midnight in the rain.
Yeah, Brad hasn't done one damn thing for me.
I'll be the designated driver, and I can haul a whole bunch of drunks in the back and drive them all home.
right.
I don't drink. Doesn't bother me.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-737-5955. It is New Year's Eve. We're here. We're live. Coming up later on today, we got Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero going to be up. We got a year-end top five. We also got another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Somebody, and I don't know where I got this from, somebody, and I can't tell if it's new or not, I can't tell if this is something we've already been given. Hey, Rick, here's something to help Matt with the weapon of the day, and it's from Harley, and it's a copy of the Punisher Armory, Volume 6.
It's excellent artwork.
From Marvel Comics. Yeah, but it just appeared on my desk yesterday morning, and so I can't tell if it's new or not.
Out of my locker, so.
Oh, did you put it on my desk?
I don't remember ever putting it on your desk, but it's no longer in my locker.
So someone went into your locker, read a comic book that was in there, and then replaced it in the wrong position when they were done by putting it on my desk.
Weekenders.
Yeah. Right.
Freaking weekenders.
Bunch of microphone-breaking bastards. All right, if you want to get on board today with your comments, clarification, kvetching, or what have you, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-737-5955. Also, a penis watch today, and a very special year-end snuff watch. Here is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by our friends at the WB32. Portland Wrestling is back this Saturday night at 11 o'clock at the WB32. I wonder if Richard's hosting this. Watch the historic return of Portland Wrestling this Saturday night at 11 o'clock on Portland's WB32.
Man, so my grandmother used to watch the Portland Wrestling. What was it, the Portland Wrestling League or Portland Wrestling, whatever the hell that group was? My grandmother used to just get really liquored up. And they had this, I don't know if they still do this in the Portland Wrestling, but they had this thing where you could bring your own foreign objects for the wrestlers to beat each other with. And so my grandmother, who lived in Markham, which is a small town out yonder, she would go to this bar called My Place and just get absolutely plowed, and then go to the wrestling, and she literally, like you always hear about women beating men with frying pans, but she would literally bring a frying pan down there. And the deal is that the wrestlers, they would stop every so often, and you would have to throw money in the ring for them to continue. They'd get to a certain point in the match, and the wrestlers wouldn't wrestle anymore. And the wrestlers would stop and wait for people to come up, and put, it's like strippers, wait to put dollar bills in the ring. And if you put, the person who put the most money in the ring also got to supply a foreign object for the wrestlers to beat each other with. And my grandmother was always bringing this little iron frying skillet that she had. Good times,
man. How
about
a corkscrew to take somebody's eye out?
Completely. It was all. We didn't need folding chairs. We just brought implements from home.
That'd be a great listener party. Have wrestling?
Yeah, and beat each other with frying pans.
Away. And have everyone bring a foreign object.
That's
for charity.
That's probably what it is. Arm. Give our audience a bunch of weapons.
So
sounds like
who's
going to
host the show anyway?
I don't know.
Is it Richard Nunn?
I don't know. We'll find out later, I suppose. No, he never tells me anything.
But anyway, we're hoping there won't be people bringing foreign objects to the big party downtown tonight. Portland Police will be kicking some serious ass if anybody gets out of hand. In Portland's living room, crews working in the rain are putting up the stage at Pioneer Courthouse Square. There's no better place to celebrate in the rain, bringing the new year. The band Hit Explosion will perform disco songs.
A large disco ball will drop off of the Pioneer Park building, followed by a bunch of celebratory fireworks, and after that, a little bit of celebratory music, and the event will end. So we're really excited. Everybody bring your disco shoes.
And a minute after midnight, will everyone please go home? The event is free, but partygoers will have to pass through one of several security checkpoints and be felt up, and down as they set up around the square. Gates open at 8 o'clock tonight. Go sit out there and shiver in the rain.
It's a free groping.
At, 9 o'clock.
Are they advertising that here? Is there any financial? Okay.
Yeah.
And can we just agree that this is the lamest New Year's idea that's ever been? Because they've missed it twice by doing a disco theme. They've missed it twice. It's dated in the sense that it's not 1979 anymore, and it's also dated in the sense that it's not like 1997 anymore. When that made its comeback? Yeah, there was like this brief 6-week period about 5 years ago where you could have done that, would have been okay, but now you just get to go downtown and hang out with a bunch of white people in the rain and listen to a bad Casey and the Sunshine Band cover group, because that sounds like fun. You know what this is? This is the midnight basketball of New Year's Eve parties. Did you ever do this when you were growing up in one of those small footloose towns where they'll have some youth activity center where they want to send the children to keep them off drugs and paint thinner and the like? And they always just, what are you going to do? Well, let's go play midnight shuffleboard. And it's always like the lamest activities that no teenager ever really wants to be involved in. That's what this is. This is the midnight parcheesi of New Year's festivities.
Well, it'll keep people from smashing windows in department stores. We hope.
Yeah, okay. Bob and Beaverton, you're a full-time listener. What's up with you?
Oh, just all your comments about the Subaru Brat. I know you just love the Chevy El Camino.
Oh, man, the El Camino, at least, was so bad as to be kind of cool.
But, you know, the one thing with an El Camino, everything with a Chevelle you could get is an El Camino, including a 450 horsepower, 454.
All I remember about the, but let me just tell you this, all I remember about the El Camino is that growing up, my dad had a friend named Dennis, and Dennis had an El Camino, and on the back window of the El Camino, it had been airbrushed to have this a painting of horses coming across the prairie, and that to me is just everything about the 70s in Kennewick that I never want to remember.
Can't blame him for that.
No, it's why he had a little, and he had the bad handlebar mustache too, and that big chain went from his wallet to his belt. So, yeah. But the Brat is a, we can all agree the Brat was a hideous and ugly vehicle.
It was, although I did see two people in the back, which was really nice to abuse your friends with.
No, that's true, and especially if you were like my friend Brian, who had AstroTurf in the back of his, and so during the summer, friends would be riding along in their, like, shorts or the Bermuda, you know, cutoffs or whatever, and then you come to a red light and stop, and suddenly everybody loses their epidermis on the AstroTurf. That's Bob in Beaverton. Let's talk about bad vehicles, though, for a moment. While we're talking about the Brat, can we all stop to salute the Chevy Love? And just say, what a... Does anybody we know drive a Chevy Love?
No, I don't think so. Okay. But what was wrong with the Chevy Love, though? I mean, now, granted...
It's called a Love. Yeah, what kind of pickup truck is called a Love?
It was, like, basically kind of the original little compact truck.
No, but it's called a Love. No man can drive
something. I've never even heard of that.
Tina would drive something like that
on the way to the Honky Tonk.
What's that?
Somebody named Tina on the way
completely
to Huntley.
Or my dad. My dad had a Chevy Love. And wasn't it spelled L-U-V?
It was L-U-V.
Come on. Anything spelled L, you might as well call it a Chevy Wove. You know what I mean? It's just like the tiny little novelty truck. Let's also talk about the Volkswagen Thing for a second.
Oh, remember
the
that?
The Volkswagen Thing is a styling car, man. That thing is so freaky and weird looking that it kind of slingshots around the sun and becomes great again.
Well, that and it's an ex-military vehicle.
Well, yeah, it looks like
military.
You look like you're in one of, like, Rommel's staff cars or something, yeah. I guess. And plus, you can take it to the beach because it's got those doors that lift right off. You know what I mean? The doors, unless I'm incredible, the panel sides just come right off of that.
Yeah, pop them right out of the
plane. Yeah, yeah, the Volkswagen Thing. That's what I'm talking about. All right,
time for the Bush Watch.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that say? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our motto.
Texas, moments ago, the president and the first lady, who Sarah says looks like an alien. She kind of does.
She looks like a reptile who might noisily devour a small baby.
Anyway, they extend their New Year's greetings.
Lauren, I wish all our fellow Americans a prosperous and peaceful and happy New Year. We are really happy to be spending New Year here in Crawford, Texas.
What fun.
We'll be having our New Year's hamburger here in a minute.
We're even happier to be white and independently wealthy.
He changed his tune on the usual saber rattling toward North Korea.
Had a very good visit with President-elect No of South Korea. I've obviously talked to a Zhang Ziman right here in Crawford about a nuclear weapons-free peninsula.
Peninsula.
Yeah.
Peninsula, he said.
He is running our country.
I'm not even going to start. I'm not going to get on it.
Okay, so a war with Iraq? What war with Iraq?
You said we're headed to war in Iraq. I don't know why you say that. I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you. And I hope this can be done peacefully.
Jesus Christ.
We've got a military presence.
I am George Bush. I am five.
Saddam Hussein, however, that when I say we will lead a coalition of the willing to disarm him if he chooses not to disarm, I mean it. And we will continue to work to resolve the situation on the Korean Peninsula.
Okay, I'm not even going to cut. There's just too much there even to attack. It's just too huge and immense, the amount of things there that need commenting on. But that's the preeminent George Bush sound clip right there, that I'm the one who gets to decide, not you. You read, and I know I'm talking about this Woodward book a lot, but you read the Woodward book, and I put a lot of credibility in Bob Woodward's reporting. I don't think he's ever steered us wrong before. You know, but you read this book, and it becomes just patently clear that Bush... You know, it's like some weird feudalism. He just runs the entire thing as the entire Defense Department as one big sort of extension of his male member. You know what I mean? Where he, you know, and I know he's the commander in chief and all, but you get the picture of this guy who just wants to have absolute dictatorial control and authority over everything, despite any advice that might be given to him by his more experienced, staff members. It just bugs me.
Well, he even likes them Orientals. He invited a couple of them to Crawford too to talk.
where I had meaningful and good discussions with Jiang Zemin. Heck, it wasn't all that long ago that a U.S. leader never spoke to the Chinese leader. And right here in Crawford, we had a dialogue where we both committed ourselves to working in a way to convince Kim Jong-il that it's not in his country's interests to arm up with nuclear weapons.
Yeah, it's only in our interest. And to sell them to whoever we deem might be our friend today.
There's like some Chilean company.
Completely. What's that? We're going to help you overthrow Iraq. All right, have some sarin gas.
Why not? What about these New Year's resolutions, Mr. President?
Matter of fact, it's an interesting question she asked. Did I keep last year's resolution to eat less cheeseburgers? And the answer is yes, to the extent that I'm now comfortable in having a cheeseburger today.
Now, that's actually funny.
Yeah, that's today's Bush Watch.
All right, there's your Bush Watch for Tuesday.
He's the president, resident, he's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush.
Well, let's talk about the actor who plays Gimli the Dwarf in Lord of the Rings movies. He's recovering from an accident that nearly left him flat as a pancake. John Rhys Davies says he's recovering from the injury he suffered on the set of the movie The Musketeers in Croatia about a month ago.
The Musketeers in Croatia?
Yeah.
What kind of a movie is that?
I don't know.
John Rhys Davies, by the way, is the guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's Salah. He's a... I made this observation last week. He's the Indy, my friend, I'm so pleased you're not dead. And he later on said, bad dates. And he plays the dwarf who is tossed. Anybody in that room?
I don't know. I can't see anybody.
I'm not sure if we have it or not. Do we have John Rhys Davies?
How are you? Was that an answer?
So anyway, I am in Croatia.
Just a shriek, okay. Which means something is falling. As I just put my hands up.
Be nice. It's Sarah's birthday running the board.
You promised me you wouldn't go out of order, Tim.
12 feet high. Falls on me.
I am in order.
Let me put it this way. It took 30 men to get it off me. So you may understand that underneath I was a very sad little fellow.
Yeah, okay. I have no idea. Now we played it, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
I don't remember what the question was.
Well, that's
something
okay.
About the peninsula and nuclear weapons. When you were making the Two Towers, did you find out that you were allergic to dwarf makeup?
I developed a reaction to the prosthetic, which basically gave me a skin peel right round the eyes. The eyes also then got very swollen and protruding, and little rift valleys appeared in the eyelids in which you could clearly play several games of noughts and crosses. I looked old.
I have no idea what in the name of God he is talking about.
Might just
a little prosthesis thing that he had to wear on his forehead.
Yeah, but he's talking about a bunch of British crap that I don't understand. By the way, it's been pointed out to us that Chevy Love. Love was an acronym for light use. Utility vehicle.
Well, see, yeah, I knew that.
I had no idea. I thought it was a cute...
Never knew that.
No, I thought it was just some trick to get chicks to buy the truck, which wasn't going to work.
No. Tell us about Gimli. Talk about the comic relief in the Tower Towers. That's what it says here. The Tower Towers, because otherwise it would be too intense. Is this a statement or a question?
No one knows.
How about the answer anyway?
You can't sustain that three-hour arc of tension. What you have to do is take it up and earth it. Build it up for the next piece and earth it. Build it up again and earth it. And one of the functions of Gimli in that is to act as the earthing point. So we take a liberty, but a liberty that comes from the innate humor of the character himself.
Well, and you have to have seen the first one, because I won't give anything away, but there is this moment where he gets tossed in the second one. And, of course, in the first movie, he's all about not being tossed ever. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. You can also drop us an email if you like. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up, we get another edition of How Chicks Think. We got a year-end top five coming your way. We got a year-end snuff watch coming up, too, as well as a very special penis watch. So you want to stay tuned for that. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-250-1080. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
I love the life, but I never sold my soul. Oh, 1080 KOTK.
All right, here is Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Oh, wait, later on, I don't know, remind me to read you later on this Glengarry Glen Ross limerick somebody sent us. That'll be later. All right, it's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Time for the Snuff Watch. Here's your Snuff Watch for Tuesday.
This is your year-end snuff watch for 2002, a complete compendium of those who shuffled off this mortal coil in the last 364 days.
Wow, we have a lot of them. D.D. Ramone.
It was a bad year for punk, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a bad 18 months for punk, with Joey Snuffin and then D.D. and then Joe Strummer. Just sad.
Avery Schreiber. Anybody remember him?
Avery Schreiber's that guy who looked like Super Mario.
And
that comedian was always on the Gong Show.
Yep. Dave Thomas of Wendy's. Ted Demi, Peggy Lee. She's saying, is that all there is? Yes, there was. journalist Daniel Pearl.
Oh, he's that guy that got killed in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Princess Margaret of England. She was an alcoholic. Waylon Jennings, so was he. Howard K. Smith.
Waylon Jennings died in pieces. Didn't he, like, cut off one of his feet and then, like cut off a leg later on? And then I guess they finally just decided they're just going to skip the middleman and just get right to the killing.
He was walking around dead for like years.
Waylon Jennings, well, he's like those country guys, like Willie Nelson. I love Willie, but he looks like he's been embalmed for about the last, you know, 3 decades or so. It's like Keith Richards, one of those guys that is 185 years old already.
Mm-hmm. Chuck Jones.
Chuck Jones died. Chuck Jones from Spokane, Washington.
Lawrence Tierney.
Lawrence Tierney was known to everybody as, the character's name in Reservoir Dogs. He's the guy, the big, huge, bald guy. Looks like the Thing in Reservoir Dogs. You know what I'm talking about. Nobody's
going to be Mr. Black. Name.
Yeah. Well, no, he wasn't the Thing.
No.
Lawrence Tierney,
that.
Though.
I know, but I didn't know that was Lawrence Tierney.
Then you get six guys in a room all want to be Mr. Black. You're Mr. Pink.
That's, you know, is that Steve Buscemi? You give that. You're Mr. Pink, and that's just the way it is. It's my way or the highway.
Yeah. Milton, Mr. Television Burrow?
Milton Burrow had a huge penis. Huge. Just the biggest of all penises.
How do you know about the size of Milton Burrow's penis?
It was buried in a separate casket.
It's coming up later on.
Dudley Moore?
Well, I hope it's not. He's dead.
Nah, you just listen, my friend.
Dudley Moore? Billy Wilder? Queen Elizabeth? The Queen Mother? Lane Staley?
Lane Staley from Alice in Chains.
Oh, here's that name again. Robert Urwick.
Do you remember all the unpleasantness early this year when Tim tried like 75? I wish we had tape on that. Like 75 yeah. different times Tim tried to say Urick, and it always came out Urwick.
Well, no reason.
There's no W in it. Tim.
Completely.
Well, I never have to read about that one again. Linda Lovelace.
Yeah.
Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Both eyes dead.
Oh my God.
Oh, come on. That's a classic.
That was.
David Berg, a cartoonist.
Dave Berg, the lighter side, Mad Magazine. He's been there in every issue since like 1957.
Ann Landers.
Dead.
Rosemary Clooney.
Dear Dead in New York.
Arthur Spud Mellon.
Oh, he's the creator of the hula hoop. Also, God damn it, was that other thing that Wham-O created?
Frisbee.
Frisbee, yeah, that's right, because he was the co-founder of Wham-O Incorporated. They made that flying bird, too.
He didn't invent the Frisbee.
Yep. He did.
Yep. He did not.
He did.
Frisbee were pie tins way back in the turn of the century.
Frisbee, though. It wasn't
they
plastic.
Were
it didn't
Frisbee
say Frisbee on the top.
They were called Frisbee pie tins. They said Frisbee stamped
give
in
me
them.
The, give me the thing. Let me see the snuff thing.
Okay, hang on. Let me circle it for you.
All right. See, all those tracks
he may have invented the cheap plastic toy, but the name Frisbee...
Arthur Spud Mellon.
We're talking about the cheap plastic
dead
toy.
Dead Alzheimer's. Born 25. Co-founded Wham with Richard Eyre. Marketed fad toys like the hula hoop and the Frisbee.
Marketed fad toys. Didn't say invented.
Okay.
Semantics, my friend.
All
look
right.
It up.
God is in the details.
Well, the hula hoop guy is dead. Ted Williams.
Still frozen as far as we know.
Oh, no, but he's going to remain frozen. I saw something the other day that they finally, the judge ruled that they got to keep freezing his ass. They're not going to, his kids won't be allowed to unthaw him.
All right. John Frankenheimer.
No, God, I just said a Utah-ism. Unthaw. Oh, my God. I lived behind a Zion curtain for too long. That's what they say in Utah. When they talk about taking a steak out of the freezer, they refer to unthawing it, which, of course, doesn't make any sense. But now I talk that way from living in Utah.
Rod Steiger.
Rod Steiger.
Stephen Ambrose. James Coburn. Rune Arlich. As we said before, Joe Strummer. Jam Master J.
And Jam Master J, co-founder and DJ for the legendary Run DMC. There you go. There's your year-end snuff watch for Tuesday, 2002.
It's almost complete, but this is the last day. Someone else could die today.
Football for somebody. Heard Rich died the other day, too.
Oh, it's a dream day.
They were all my friends, and they died.
Well, it's shocking. A federal survey says binge drinking is increasing, especially among 18 to 20-year-olds. Far too young to drink legally. Episodes of having five or more drinks at the time rose 17% among adults between 1993 and 2001. But all shot up 56% among the underage folks.
Sam, I'm going to tell you this. This is why kids binge drink. You want to know there's two reasons why kids drink in a binging fashion. A, because they usually live in some hellhole hometown where there's nothing else to do but to sit around and squirt WD-40 up your nostrils to get a buzz on. And secondly, kids have got to binge drink because you think about it. When you're underage, when's the time you can drink? Well, you've got to squeeze it into the few hours when you have privacy. You know what I mean? If you were just able to, like, I'm not saying you should get your kids all liquored up from jump, but I'm just saying, if your kids could just go and, like, get themselves a snort of hooch whenever they felt like it, they probably wouldn't feel the need to do it all at once. But when you're, like, 17 or 18, you're going to some guy's party, your parents out of town for the weekend, you're locking yourself in the closet before you go to school every morning, and you got to pound down as much of that night train as you possibly can before the cleaning lady comes in. You know what I mean? That's why kids...
The views of Rick Emerson do not reflect
they
those
They do. The views of Rick Emerson are correct. The views of Rick Emerson are representative of common sense in the common populace of this country. I'm not saying kids should drink. I'm saying the reason that kids drink in a binging fashion is because they know that they're going to get hided if their parents come home and catch them doing it. So they got to cram it into like the 90 minutes before mom gets home from the box making factory after school.
Well, that's why they binge drink on Friday night when they're at a party, because they're not going to get a drink any other time during the week.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If your kids had ready access to alcohol, which I'm not recommending, I'm just saying it seems to me like they wouldn't binge the way they do.
Well, maybe if there's like a public swimming pool open late at night, these things wouldn't happen.
Yeah, if they had a disco party they could go to at midnight.
Speaking of those who insist on wrapping themselves around telephone poles tonight, here's for getting the point across about the dangers of drinking and driving. A South Carolina funeral home is offering a deal of a lifetime this New Year's Eve for drunk drivers who take one-way tickets upstairs. The Grandstand Funeral Home in Myrtle Beach is offering a free burial to anyone who gets killed tonight. Yes, it is true.
And it sounded like, can we just play the John Rhys Davies things again? I know we actually found those somewhere.
Here's clip 01.
All right, so this is what? This is a guy from a funeral home?
Yeah, guy from a funeral home.
Should right. be noticed.
What we're doing, if you come by and sign a contract at the funeral home stating that you're going to drink and drive or use drugs and get behind the wheel of a car and you get killed, we'll bury you free.
Yep. Okay. That?
That's
all
from
right.
South Carolina.
Well, okay, swell. Thanks.
And by the way, if you try to stop drinking but can't, Alcoholics Anonymous can help. Call 503-223-8569. There are people answering the phone all tonight.
Okay, that's got to be a fun job.
Yeah, it must be tonight. Let's see, what else are we doing here?
Am I the only one? Let me just talk about Alcoholics Anonymous, another blank anonymous thing for a moment. Am I the only one who wonders why you can't just go pick up a lot of chicks at one of those sex addicts meetings? I was thinking about this the other day.
Where do
I
have watching those anyway?
I know they have in Seattle. I was watching 6 Feet Under, and the character of Brenda was at a sex addicts meeting. It was like her and like three other chicks and a bunch of dudes all in a room talking about how they compulsively have sex all the time. And I was wondering why you couldn't just go and score a bunch of babes at one of those meetings. It seems like the easiest place to do it. I don't know. It's one of those random things that occurs to me.
Well, student athletes subject to random drug testing at an Oregon high school were almost four times less likely to use drugs than their counterparts at a similar school who were not tested. The one-year study by researchers at OHSU compared Watonga High School in the Dells, where all student-athletes are subject to random testing, and Warrenton High School, a demographically similar school near Astoria, where they were not.
They're also three times less likely to use performance-enhancing substances like steroids, according to survey results, which are confidential.
First of all, the article is written in a misleading fashion, which is the way that these drug testing things are always done.
Yes.
That it says all students are subjected to random... The sentence doesn't make any... It's written in an illogical way. It doesn't make any sense just linguistically when it says that all students are subjected to random drug tests. Clearly, if all students are subjected to them, they're by definition not random. You could say that all students are at risk of, or all students may be subjected to, but you cannot say that all students logically are subjected to random drug testing. It just doesn't work that way.
I think by random, though, they're referring to timing as opposed to
individual. Does
that
mean everybody gets tested over the course of whatever?
It means anybody at any time could possibly be tested.
Yeah.
But not necessarily everybody at any time will be tested.
See, which is what makes it wrong, and in my opinion, probably illegal. Anybody's ever been able to successfully argue that before the court anyway. The only thing, the views of Rick Emerson may be correct, but for this point, they're only representative of my views. That the only thing random drug tests in schools and at work are capable of doing is suppressing. The only thing they're good at getting rid of is your free will and your resistance to authority. That's just my opinion.
Meanwhile, singer Diana Ross arrested on suspicion of extreme DUI. Is that only for celebrities? Early Monday when somebody
extreme,
reported...
It's a new extreme DUI on the WB tonight.
No, it's an X.
Completely. Yeah, with like a big red jagged X all spray painted on there, hosted by Tony Hawk. Yeah.
This after somebody saw a vehicle swerving on a road near the Catalina foothills of Tucson. Oh, who would want to be in Tucson?
That's why you'd be drunk.
A million degrees there. It's always the red part on the weather map. The breath test showed Ross had a blood alcohol concentration of 0.20%. That level is more than double the legal limit, so that makes it extreme DUI.
Excellent. Have you noticed? Here's a thing I've noticed culturally, by the way, that we're saying extreme less and we're saying Uber more. I'm seeing a lot of things referred to as Uber beer, Uber show, Uber sport, Uber diva. Extreme is like real 1999, real 2001. We're not moving to Uber. But so she was double the limit.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go for it, just go for it. If you're going to drink, I guess you got to just drink.
And she gets 0.15 for extreme driving under the influence.
All right.
So that's what they qualify
Swell.
For. So, doesn't say if she went to jail or not. Apparently somebody showed up. Oh, she doesn't look very good in this picture.
Now, Diana Ross has never looked... I've never found her attractive. I don't know what Gene Simmons was thinking. Because, you know, Gene Simmons was porking her for the longest time in the early 80s, and she's never done anything for me.
Now, let's see here. A federal appeals court has ruled that the Macaw tribe could not resume gray whale hunts, agreeing that whaling opponents who argue that the government must study the hunt impacts more thoroughly. Huh? The Ninth Annual Court of Appeals panel in San Francisco rejected an adequate federal environmental assessment showing the hunt caused no significant impact. This story gets boring as I read more. Maybe we should just stop it. Let them kill all the whales they want. Because the story is too boring.
That's our environmental policy. Kill all the whales you want. Isn't that in Seattle, though? Isn't that where those macaw weasels are? Isn't that there in right up there by, I don't know, by Bellingham or some crap? Those Indians that want to go out and club a bunch of things? I guess you don't club whales. What do you do to whales? You don't club them.
You spear them.
By the way, this is the next time you see one of these macaw nitwits on television talk about, you know, spirit, God, ancestor, tell me kill endangered species or whatever it is they're talking about. Realize that these guys go out there, because I saw them doing this. It was either last year or 2 years ago when the court had ruled that they were able to go out and kill these whales, which, you know, no one else is allowed to do. They were doing this as part of their great grand tribal tradition in a gas-powered boat with a big engine on the back, like it said Evan Rude on the side. You know, firing up the boat with the pole start going out there, which is, I'm sure, the way they did it back in, like, you know, Meriwether Lewis's day. I'm sure that they had, you know, that, you know, spirit God, give me 300 horsepower engine to more adequately pursue endangered species. Also,
did they have that big harpoon cannon on the front of their boat?
Probably. It should have got a wave motion gun on the front. It should also be noted that the reason I'm opposed to the macaw folks being able to do this is that religion should not be an excuse for you to get to disobey the law. Nobody should get to just ignore the law because your religion says so.
But I think they're killing these whales for their Kwanzaa buffet or something. Excellent.
I'm just saying, you can call it tradition or you can call it culture, but it's just religion. And religion shouldn't let you disobey the law, in the opinion of this journalist. All right, we got more on the way. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Stay there.
Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. We got another edition of How Chicks Think coming up later on. Top 5, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. Also a penis watch here in just a moment. Let's go to Salem. It's Jager on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. What's up?
Hey, I got some stupid information.
Okay.
I always heard that the Subaru Brat had those seats in the back because the import duty taxes were cheaper on four-seated vehicles.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that would explain, well, because aren't there a whole bunch of vehicles from that same era that have those same lame-ass, non-usable seats in the back?
I'm not sure. I'm not up on that. But
I don't know.
Anyway, hey, thanks.
Yeah, no, you can make a whole career out of useless, stupid information. Look at your humble narrator.
Here's another one, too. You get tax breaks if you buy the big, like, SUVs, like the Lincoln Navigator. Like,
really?
15%. Yeah, Bush just pushed all these through.
Under what, for what possible reason?
Well, they want to sell more of them.
Yeah, but I, that doesn't make any sense. Hey, you know what you get a tax break on? Laura and I were just talking about this last night. You know you get a tax break if you buy one of those hybrids. You buy a hybrid, you get a you get a one-time tax credit of up to $2,000, depending on the type of hybrid you buy, your financial situation when you buy it. So we're looking. I mean, we haven't decided yet, but I think the next time we have to go buy a car, our next car purchase, sometime maybe in 2003, is going to be. Because I knew they've got a new. What the hell is it? It's a new Chevy. Whose name escapes me. Because we all know, here's the thing about hybrids, is they're all butt ugly. Hybrids are all just ass ugly, every one of them.
Well, how long are you thinking about buying one?
Probably sometime in the next 2 years.
Okay, wait at least till next year. The new Honda comes out. Doesn't look anything like the inside.
Maybe it's what we were looking at last night, because it's not out yet.
Yeah, it's not out. It's not ugly. It looks just like Civic.
It was a Civic hybrid.
It's a great-looking little car.
We were looking at it last night, and it was, like, not currently available, not in production yet, or not, you know, you can't buy it yet. And it was only like, 19 grand. I mean, it wasn't all that bad for what it is. And, I mean, it looked, because that's the reason I would never have bought a hybrid, because it just, I mean, it's not like I'm all about... You know, it's not like the car has to be, you know, it has to be a Mercedes, but they were ugly. The hybrids are all hideous and ugly until this new Accord or Civic or whatever the hell it is.
I think it's based off the Civic, but they were saying that it's got like a 12-gallon gas tank in it, and it'll do like 800 and some odd miles on each tank.
I know, it's like 855 miles. We get the penis watch here in a moment. This is Brad in Vancouver. He's a full-time listener.
Did you hear him do that?
What's up with you?
Not much. How's it going?
What do you got, man?
We used to go diving up there. It's actually off the very tip of the peninsula, the reservation that the macaws are on.
Uh-huh.
And when we were up there, they told us originally that they were originally from the plains, like on Eastern over, you know, where you're from?
The macaw, yeah.
Yeah, and they were placed there. So their whole theory behind it's traditions, a bunch of bull.
Well, Steven, and that's one thing. And my whole deal is... It just bugs me because they're disingenuous about it. When they say that they want to go out and do whaling because it's culture and it's tradition, it's just code for saying because it's religion, which, of course, should not be a loophole for you to avoid the law.
Yeah.
Church's tax-exempt status notwithstanding, religion should not be an opportunity for you to beat Uncle Sam at some sort of law enforcement game, and which is what whaling is. It just bugs me. So, all right, there you go. This Brad in Vancouver. Here's your penis watch.
Take a look at
Tuesday.
My enormous penis. And my troubles start melting away.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way. Da-da-da-da.
Well, now that comedian Milton Berle has passed away, his biographers are curious about the whereabouts of his biggest family heirloom, a plaster mold of his penis. Bradley Lewis, who co-wrote the 1999 tell-all biography, My Fonder Uncle Milty, said the comedian was very well endowed and kept a plaster cast of his manhood in the attic of his home.
Just show the Avon lady when she came over.
Now, the cast was made by staff members who broke in on Burrow when he was having sex in his dressing room back in the 1950s. Wow, he's probably the only one back then doing it.
Well, see, and what kind of staff do you have? What kind of supporting crew?
Hold on, the cast was made by his staff members?
Members?
Staff?
No, but I mean, what kind of staff do you have on your show that they open the door, find you having sex, they find you in flagrante, and then their first reaction is not like, let's leave and let our boss continue the sex. Their first reaction is not, oh, I wish I hadn't seen that. Their first reaction is, let's get some plaster and make a mold of his penis. I don't have a staff like that. They don't care that much.
Now, Gavilti was
reportedly very proud of his foot-long sculpture.
Foot-long.
But its current whereabouts are unknown. If it exists, it's extremely valuable. Check eBay. But Burl's son, William, wishes he could get a hold of it for sentimental reasons. Lewis thinks Burl's wife, Lorna, may have possession of the plaster, but doesn't realize what she has on her hands.
Foot-long.
Yeah.
That's today's penis watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away.
There's so many ways in which I don't measure up to Milton Berle.
Everything is going my way.
The number of ways in which I'm overshadowed by Milton Berle is apparently endless. That list just goes on forever, I guess.
Well, at least for about 12 inches.
Yeah. All right. That's okay. At least I'm not Napoleon. We've talked about Napoleon had like a penis, like inch and a half. And then John Dillinger had the 2-inch member. So, you know, so I'm somewhere in between. There it is, Tim
Between
Riley.
The 1.5 and the 2, or between the 2 and the 12?
That's not talking about it. It's
just too much information.
Move on.
Reebok has signed a deal to team up with Homer Simpson. Homer, despite his failings and unathletic ability, appeals to all generations and will pitch its Reebok Classic footwear. The $60 sneakers go on sale in April. TV tonight, can we do something to make Dick Clark stay home? It's primetime New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Hey, you know, can I just talk to you about New Year's Rockin' Eve for a moment?
Yeah.
A, that title has been lame for about 29 years.
Yeah.
And B, Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve is so seldom, it's so rarely rockin' in any actual, real, tangible sense that they ought to just retire the name. You know what I mean? I can't remember the last time there was anybody on that show who actually qualified as rockin' in any conceivable sense. If you eliminate the time that Kiss played underneath the Brooklyn Bridge or whatever the hell it was a couple years ago. So, the only other moment, here's the only other good moment that's ever been provided by Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. It was, I believe, last New Year's, where Clyde was over at our house and was, well, it's not that we're advocating abusing your body with chemicals, but Clyde was just higher than a kite, just unbelievably, just baked out of his brain, and we were, Sum 41 came on, and they were playing that, what the hell was that song that, you know, that Beastie Boys, what the hell, that one hit, the one big hit they had. The storm another day, my name was El Nino, blah, 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 Camino. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so Sum 41 came on, and they're playing this one song, and Clyde is on the couch going, Sum 41, this is the greatest band I have ever seen in my life. I want these guys to play every New Year. These guys have got to put out an album every single year. I have never seen a band any better than this. It was going on like 35 minutes. Like an hour later, we're still just extolling the virtues of Sum 41 to an empty room. Because we were all like down the hall in the other room. Clyde, we still just got Sum 41 rules. That was the only good thing about New Year's.
Well, if you don't want to watch Dick Clark, how about a tribute to Victor Borga? Performance clip celebrating the life and works of this humorist.
Yeah, because we're all about Victor Borga.
What a way to bring in the new year.
The year is 1971.
What else do we have? Live from Lincoln Center, New Year's Eve, all Gershwin concert.
Jesus.
Lauren Michael. Oh, no. What is this? Oh, Lauren Maisel. I thought he was busy. Okay, what else do we have here? Oh, Fox has a show on called America's Party Live from Vegas with Ryan Seacrest, the American Idol guy.
Ah, great.
The Devil's Advocate is on tonight, and he is Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino. After moving to New York, a lawyer and his wife gradually learn his new employer's true identity.
Okay.
Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Khan!
Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Dumb and Dumber's on. Then Trading Places.
Dumb and Dumber. By the way, can I just talk to you about Dumb and Dumber for a moment?
Please do.
Have we all now gone to see Lord of the Rings and seen the Dumb and Dumber and Dumberer or whatever the hell that the sequel is?
Yes.
Have you all seen that? And it's got, you know, it's a sequel to the film came out of like 1997 or whatever. Am I the only one who sees the hidden innuendo in the tagline for that Dumb and Dumber movie? I don't even know that I should clarify what it is. But there is... I don't even know how to put this without being crude. But anybody who's seen the trailer, is it Dumb and Dumberer? Is that what the name of the movie is?
Yeah.
Okay.
When Harry Met Lloyd.
Okay. For anybody who has seen the trailer for Dumb and Dumberer, there is this sort of hidden joke. There is this in-joke in the trailer when they give the tagline for the film that is that I am amazed that they got away with. It's well known that with South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, it's been well documented by now that Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is the name of a gay porn film. And that Trey Parker and Matt Stone were having so much difficulty with the MPAA getting South Park to get an R rating that they decided that just to be difficult, when they finally submitted the title of the movie, they gave the subtitle to the South Park movie as Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, which is the name of a gay porn film. Well, I don't have time now. Okay, on the other side here, I'll explain. I'm not going to dwell on it. But on the other side here, I'll explain what it is about the Dumb and Dumber movie that I don't think anybody has noticed. I think I'm the only person to have picked up on it. There's one guy behind me in the theater who snickered at it, but we'll get to all that in a moment. Plus, Jolie's coming up with the How Chicks Think, also the top five. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk, 1080 KOTK.